And welcome today to week number two of a four-part series called The Holy Bible. And I want to take a moment and look into the camera, as I always do. Never get tired of doing this. Just think of you every single day, pray for you every single day. Our different locations, campuses, our churches all across Alabama and into Columbus, Georgia. And to the men and women in the Alabama Department of Corrections, we love you dearly, pray for you every day, believe in you in every way. And we have so many people that are watching online right here in our own area for a variety of reasons. And of course, those are all the way around the world that are joining us right now. Grant Smill, do me a favor and welcome them like you've never done it before. Come on, everybody. Good. That's awesome. We're also in day number 8 of 21 days of prayer and fasting. And if you've not jumped in with us already, it's not too late to jump in. It's perfectly fine to join us. Tomorrow morning, we'll have day 9 right back here at 6 a.m. In fact, I'm leading tomorrow morning our prayer services. We have them Monday through Friday at 6 a.m., Saturday at 9 a.m. all central time, wherever you are around the world. I'd love for you to join us. You can stream those live at home on your devices or on the different platforms. And then also, we archive those prayer services for 24 hours. And then when the 21 days of prayer is done, we put all 21 of them on our website for you to have in perpetuity. Just let you have those for as long as you want, so that you can go back and have different prayer times together. But it's a wonderful time to really declare to God that He has first place in our lives, declare our dependence upon God. And as the campus pastors led you through with the pastoral care update cards, it also lets us focus on what we're believing God for in 2022. And whether you do it digitally or with one of our printed paper cards, please take a moment. It's very important. I think it actually it moves your faith, and I think it works actually for you to write a prayer request down or something you're believing God for in 2022. Those will show up right here in front of the stage tomorrow, unless you mark it confidential, and that stays with me and our pastoral team. But we'd be just delighted to stand with you and believe with you for great things in the year of 2022. Notice that the card is perforated, by the way, so that your prayer request and your personal information are separated, so no one ever sees that. That stays with our team in a secure place. So I'm very excited about this installment of this series. We're talking about the Holy Bible. And the word Bible means book, but this is not just the Bible. This is the Holy Bible. This is a book that is set apart. That's what the word holy means. It's special. It's the most translated book in the world. It's the most read book in the world. It's the most important book in the world, and it is set apart as special, and we're to set it apart as special in our own lives. I believe the Bible is under great attack. In fact, next week, I'm going to bring you a message on how you can defend the word of God as true and right and living and alive. And I'm going to bring you convincing proof, both from scientific and scriptural standpoints, to show you how the Bible is reliable and can be trusted in every single way. You don't want to miss next week. But today, we're going to get into a thought with you that just stems from one verse. And if you'll remember last week, we ended with the thought of it's important to not only read the Bible, but let the Bible read you, and then memorize it. Get it deep down on the inside of you. And we memorized a verse last week. Does anybody remember our verse last week? Some of you do. Let's try it together for those of you who were here. If you weren't here, no pressure. But your word is a lamp unto my feet and a well done. Give yourselves a hand, everybody. That's pretty weak. Give yourselves a good hand, everybody. Yeah, you did pretty good there. Yeah, your word. It's a lamp to my feet. It lights up my path. In other words, it helps me make decisions. Today, I'm going to give you another verse. We're actually going to start the message off with memorizing a verse. And here it is in Colossians chapter 3, verse 16. And it's very simple. I'll read it to us, and then we'll read it together. It says, "Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly." Let's say it all together. Every voice, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. One more time, read it out loud. Let the word in you. I'm going to get a blank screen here right now, and let's try it one more time. Every voice, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. Yes, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. And I want you to notice the first word is you got to let it. So it's there. It has power. And honestly, what I want more than anything else for you in the whole wide world is this is dwelling inside of you. and dwelling inside of you richly. And that's the message today. I'm going to help you get this Bible, not just in your life at some level. I want to get it in you at the deepest level, because I know what this word can do on the inside of you. And to do that, I have a little prop, a little illustration. Harrison, bring me out my little illustration. Everybody, this is Harrison. He helps me out backstage. Give him a hand, everybody. Thank you, sir. All right, so I've got a cup of hot water here. And of course, I've got a tea bag right here. And this is just water. This is your soul. This is who you are. This is your life. And this is the Word of God. And for a lot of us, we're getting into the Word of God through these amazing, dynamic, special, none like them messages on a Sunday. Take it a little dip, and it does some effect. Look what it's already done to this water in just a couple of seconds. I don't know if you can call it tea yet or not, but it's got some tea in it. But that's not dwelling inside of it richly. What Christians do that want the Word of God to change your life, to take on the aroma of this thing, to actually not only just be water, to become something else, to become tea. Yeah, we've got to take a few more dips into this. Today, I'm going to help you take some more dips into the Word of God. Okay, so this is a very practical message. If you like it practical, you like this. If you like it more preachy, that's coming, everybody. All right, the last installment, there's going to be some shouting and some fun. But today, I'm going to educate you. I want to train you. I'm going to put my teacher hat on, and I'm going to help you with three different dips into God's Word so it can dwell inside of you richly. And I'm going to put you on assignment. I'm going to ask you to actually do these things. And the first is, I want you to get a paper Bible. I'm grateful for the digital platforms, but I want you to get a paper Bible in a translation you like. And what I'm going to do today is help you understand the different translations, and really based off of a question somebody asked me just a few weeks ago. Hey, PC, what's up with all the translations? Like, why, there are so many different people who are writing the Bible in a different way. And he was almost suggesting that, well, then it can't be accurate if it's actually different from different translation to translation. And I said, well, first of all, you would need to know that the Bible wasn't written in English, so it has to be translated. The Bible is written actually in primarily two languages, the Old Testament Hebrew and the New Testament Greek language, and those were written thousands of years ago. And one of the misnomers, one of the lies that the devil loves to spread into society, is that over the thousands of years, all the translations have diluted the Bible, and now we have it, and it can't be trusted. It's not accurate. And that would mean as if this one was translating this one translating this one translating this, but that's not happening. We still have original manuscripts, and all the translators are going back to original manuscripts. They're not translating from the last one somebody did. We have, thank God for the discovery even of the Dead Sea Scrolls, that even more validated the fact that the Bible is true, it is accurate. Can I hear a good amen, everybody? So that's just a bunch of lies, right? But we have translations because we live in America, and because we're English speaking and we're blessed. There are dozens and dozens of English translations of the Old Testament and New Testament Bible today. There are 3,752 languages who don't even have one version in their language. And we are on assignment as a church to not only be a part of that changing in our lifetime, but we're also using the influence of our church. For every pastor who's watching me right now, I'm inviting you to join us in the Illuminations Project, so that by at least 2033, maybe 2035, we're gonna get, for the first time in human history, every language on earth is gonna have a Bible in their language. We're gonna have translated it into all 7,000 languages that exist on planet Earth. But for you English speaking people, you have a lot of choices. That's because you're blessed. You're blessed. You get to read it in various forms that helps you understand it all the better. I put them in three categories. There are some in what they call formal equivalency or exact equivalency translations of the Bible. An exact or formal equivalency is a Bible that was, when it was translated from the original manuscripts, was translated word for word. For instance, the King James Version, written in 1611, translated word for word. But the problem is that over the hundreds and hundreds and thousands of years, The words didn't change, but grammar has, and sometimes it's hard to read. But an example of these formal equivalencies would be the King James Version, the New King James Version, which is the King James Version without all the these and the arts, okay? And then the New American Standard Bible and the English Standard Version, which is a very reliable, I highly recommend it, a translation that is a formal equivalency. The second type of Bible that are the translations that we have options to, because we're blessed, are those that are what we call functional equivalency, or some call it dynamic equivalency. And these are not word for word, they're thought for thought. So they took the whole verse and translated the whole verse as a thought. And these are examples are the New Living Translation, the Good News Translation, the Today's English Version. And I put the New International Version on that list barely, because what the New International Version really did was a combination of the two. It really is a functional equivalency that used word for word translation at the same time. More than 100 scholars over decades around that internationally got together, and I personally believe it is one of the most accurate. If accuracy is you want something very accurate and easy to understand at the same time, to me it's the most reliable, which is why we use it the most. Since 1987, it has outsold all other translations, not even a close second, the New International Version. The third type are what we call paraphrases, and paraphrases actually are not ones that used the original languages. They took our English Bibles and used them to make it even easier to understand. So these are paraphrases. And so an example of this is the Living Bible, written by Dr. Kenneth Taylor. Actually, he didn't even write the Living Bible to be used by other people. He wrote it for his children to understand the Bible. So parents, if you're looking for a Bible that your children can understand, the Living Bible, and of course the Message, in the last really two decades has been one of those popular paraphrases, and it clearly is a paraphrase. Never trying to be a word-for-word exact or functional equivalency. It's trying to make it come alive and easy to understand, which to me, these make great devotional Bibles or just secondary reads. I actually use all of these types in my study, but these are great. Like in an exact equivalency, the psalm would say, let us enter his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise. So, you know, this is the day the Lord has made, right? This is what it would say, something like that. And the Message would say, dude, it's time for church. Let's go. You know, it would say it something like that. All right. In fact, I'll give you an example. In 1 Corinthians chapter 13, in the King James Version, the Bible says, and you've heard this at weddings, it says, charity suffereth long. And the word charity there in the original language, which now we're in the New Testament, so that's the Greek language. The original language, the word in the Greek is agape. And actually the exact translation of the word agape is unconditional God kind of love. That's the exact definition of the word agape. So the King James decided, because it really tried to be very poetic, and called it charity. And then suffereth long, those two words in the English is one word in the Greek. And it's the word patient in the Greek. But they wrote it, charity suffereth long and is kind. Charity envieth not. Charity vaunteth not itself and puffeth not itself. All right, there you go. All right, so yeah. And that's fine. I love this. I revere it. In my opinion, some revere it too much. They'll even fight you over it, saying you can't read any others, as if God was from England. God was not from England, everybody. Okay, he was not. And I love you loving your Bible, but the other translations are fine as well. In fact, the New International Version would read it this way. Love is patient. Love is kind. It does not envy, does not boast, is not proud. Maybe not as poetic, but probably a little bit more clear. Then you bring the Message along, same verse, and it says, love never gives up. Love cares more for others than self. Love doesn't want what it doesn't have. Love doesn't strut, doesn't have a swole love head. I mean, there you go. So it just has a little attitude with it. I like it. You know, it just has a little fun and just helps you understand it a little bit better. But it paraphrases, it expands it so it understands it. But that's one of the dips I want you to take, is get a Bible. Read your Bible, and I would love for you to read it every day. And I'm asking you, I'm giving you permission not to get caught up in reading programs that get you bogged down, and now you have you have 1,000 chapters to get caught up, and you look at your app, or you look at your own paper Bible, like, man, I'm 6 weeks behind. Everybody else is in November, and you're still in July. Don't do that, right? Read the one in your Bible. Read today's readings. Just get it in your Word. Get the Word of God in your life every day. And if you think that's a good thing to do, say a good amen, everybody. All right, read your Bible. So, Second is, you want to go a little bit deeper? You want to take another dip? Study it. Get a study Bible. Now, this is for those who are serious about the Bible. If you're serious about the Bible, get one that not only has the translation, but has commentary on the same page. So if you've never seen a study Bible, they'll actually give you footnotes, and at the bottom will explain it more historically, where it was in history, and it helps. It just helps that Bible just come alive. And there are ones like the Life Application Bible. There's a Spirit-filled Life Bible I highly recommend. And then you got the John Maxwell Leadership Bible. Business guys, this is God's Word with a leadership lesson on the same page that fits into God's Word. And you can take it to your office. You can mentor others with it. It just gives you another little dip. And then the third thing, if you want to go a little bit deeper, so I'm going to read it every day. But you know what? I'm going to be one of those people that just isn't satisfied with kind of barely having a little tea in my water. I want to become a new person. I don't want to be the same kind of person. I want my life to be literally changed. Well, you're going to have to let the Word of God dwell in you richly. There's a third way you can do it, and we talked about it during Highlands News, and that is get in a small group. Get in a small group and not only read it, not only study it, but discuss it now. And now I'm in a place where we start these in 3 weeks, where whatever type of group, whether it's a marriage group or a student group or a financial group to help you get out of debt, or if it's a freedom group, or you're serving, or maybe you're mowing somebody's lawn, whatever type of group, there's going to be a moment where you can at least read a scripture and study the Bible or have some discussion or ask some questions. And now, because I have the dynamic of what Proverbs says, I have iron sharpening iron, now I'm with others who are interested in the Bible, and now we're growing together and we're becoming sharper, and it's dwelling inside of us even more deeply. And this is really a precursor to what's coming up in just a few weeks. In 3 weeks exactly, we start our winter, spring semester, 13-week semester of small groups, February 6th through May 7th. And I want you to get ready for it. I want you to get ready to be in one. I'm going to talk a bunch of you into considering hosting one. And notice I didn't say lead it. You don't have to be smarter than everybody else in the room to lead or to host a small group. You just have to open up your door and have a bowl of Doritos. And how many of y'all think Doritos sound really good right now? All right. So just to have an opportunity for there to be discussion. You say, well, Chris, how did we know what to discuss? We provide you the questions. We have hundreds of curriculums in any topic that you can bring up. And then the most holiest, most incredible, most perfect small groups in our entire church are the ones who study my messages every week, everybody. And we give you discussion questions from every Sunday so that we can go a little bit more deeply inside of God's Word. And we're training leaders today. And when I say training does not sign you up to be one. It gives you the information to know if whether you want to be one. And that's going to happen today at 11:15 at all of our Alabama campuses, and at 12:15 over on Eastern Time at our Columbus campus. But stick around and just be a part of this training today, at least get the information, at least find out if it's for you. I'll tell you this, I'll make this a promise, that if you do, if you bite that apple, you go into a little bit deeper into what God's trying to do inside of your life, you're gonna experience growth this year like you've never seen it before. And I make that promise to you. And then this is what's gonna happen. I didn't even touch this thing, but I just left it alone for a while. And now we don't even have water anymore. We have tea. We have a life that's been changed. Oh, y'all, it's taking on the aroma. Yeah. It has become what it allowed in its life. Yeah. And you will become what you allow in your life. And this is my hope and my prayer for you today. So today, I want to finish this message by helping you just understand the Bible. So I need 8 hours to do what I'm going to do in about 10 or 15 minutes. Okay, but I'm going to do it. I know I can do it. But I want you to understand the Bible, because I don't think you can truly love it and want to do what I'm asking you to do unless you have a basic understanding of it. I think understanding is the key to relationship. I mean, when Tammy and I first got married, it's been coming up on 36 years ago. We've been married a long time, y'all. And I know her so much better now than I knew her then. And the more I know her, the more I love her. She's the most amazing person. And I'm still discovering. Somebody wants to clap for my wife back in the back. All right. I'll allow that. All right. Thank you. But I'll tell you what, I'm still trying to understand her. Can I get a better amen all the men? All right. Y'all heard that story about the guy who walked on the beach in California and he found a genie bottle and he rubbed it and a genie popped out. And the genie says, hey, I'll give you one wish. What my wish is your command. He says, awesome, because I've always wanted to go to Hawaii and I'm afraid of flying. I'm deathly afraid of flying. And if you would build me a bridge from California to Hawaii, I'll drive across and I'll get to go to Hawaii for the first time in my life. And the genie said, do you realize what you're asking? I mean, my goodness, can you imagine the concrete and the steel and the rebar and the time and the labor that it would take to put a bridge all the way from the coast of California to Hawaii? You're going to have to think of something else. He goes, okay, well, help me understand my wife. Genie says, you want one lane or two? So anyway, so... I got to help the men out every once in a while, y'all. So there you go. By the way, help is on the way. If you don't understand your spouse, we got the marriage conference coming up in just a few weeks. Hang in there, everybody. All right. Okay. But let me help you with my understanding of God's word in the simplest way. The first thing I would like to tell you is that it was written over a period of 1,600 years in over a dozen countries on three continents by 40 people, about 40 people, because there's a few books we don't know who translated actually. So we don't know who the author is, but it's at least 40 people in three different languages. The Bible was written by poets, prophets, farmers, kings, soldiers, shepherds, princes, priests, historians, fishermen, tax collectors, scholars, businessmen, and doctors. The Bible was written in caves, ships, palaces, prisons, and deserts. And I've got a great question for all of us today. How in the world, with all of that I just read to you, how in the world did they come up with the same story without contradiction? And more on this next week. I will show you there is no contradiction. I will prove to you that the Bible can be trusted. I'll tell you how. There is only one author of the Bible, and his name is God. I said there's only one author of the Bible, and his name is God, everybody. There is no way what I just read to you can even happen. There's no way. You couldn't get authors together and say, okay, we're going to take 1,600 years to do a writing project, and we all end up talking about the same thing without contradiction. Can't happen. It physically can't happen unless there was one author. And there is one author of the Bible, and it's God. All scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, training in righteousness so that you and I can be thoroughly equipped for every part of our life. It speaks to your marriage, your children, your money, your time, your wisdom. It'll help you with your decision-making, your rest, every part of your life. And I'll show you places that God's spoken even before science knew it to be true. I'll show you that next week. The Bible actually works because the Bible is alive, everybody. Yeah. Yeah. And this is why I want it in you so deeply, because it's not just for church on a Sunday. I want you for everything. I want it to help you with every part of your life. In fact, the way I live my life, and I'm encouraging you to do the same. And anytime I'm faced with something in my life, I ask myself, what does the Bible say about this? And then I'm going to follow God's way and not my way. Amen, everybody? I'm going to follow my way. Years ago, in 4 years, I did a lot of work. Didn't tell you a lot about it because for security reasons, but did a lot of work in China. I made several trips, two a year, for about 10 years in the earlier parts of our church. We can't go right now because it began to put the missionaries there in jeopardy for someone who was not Chinese to go over. But we literally planted thousands of churches in China, and we helped train about a million new leaders in China. And we did it in a network of the underground church, so the church that was meeting technically illegally against the government. So these were underground churches because the government has an above ground or a government sanctioned church, but they control a lot of it because they're so afraid of crowds. And so they allow Christianity, but at the level that they control it. It's called the Three Self Church. Well, I actually got invited to go train leaders and speak in the Three Self Church as well. And in the Three Self Church, in the audience was the man who leads the MBA program at Beijing University. And I was there with Dr. John Maxwell, and he said, would you please come to Beijing University and teach these biblical principles? And we couldn't believe what he was asking for. I said, are you serious? I said, you want us to come teach you about Jesus? He goes, oh, no, don't teach me about Jesus. Just come teach me Jesus's principles. I said, why? He says, because we have come to the conclusion after years of study that the most prosperous people on earth are those who have the Judeo-Christian ethic. He says, this actually works for business. And we think you should be we should be teaching the Bible as a business practice in the MBA program at Beijing University. Would you come? And so John Maxwell and I went and taught the MBA students at Beijing University and built a relationship with this dean over Beijing University MBA program. And 3 years later, he gave his life to Jesus, because you can't just come on, give God praise if you think that's awesome, right? Because these aren't just principles that you can bring into business. They're there to change your life. They will thoroughly equip you for every good work. That's the first thing I would tell you. The second thing I would want you to know about your Bible is that some people find it difficult to understand because of the way it's grouped. So the Bible is not a book, really. It's a collection of 66 books. And the books are organized and categorized not chronologically. So it doesn't read like a book that you can begin at the beginning and end at the end and you've read it through, because it's grouped and they don't always group chronologically, in other words, in time. Now, I didn't know that for years when I was even reading the Bible in church as a young person. And I love telling people that really the Bible is organized, and I'll go through it very quickly and you can watch this later, but the Bible has law books first, the first five books of the New Testament, then it gets into 12 books that are all history-based. And then you get poetry books, books that are just all poetical in some form, beginning with Job, that's the Psalms, the Proverbs, Song of Solomon. And then it gets into the prophecy books. They call them major prophets and minor prophets. And only major, the major prophets are grouped together just because they're long. That's what makes them major. And the minor just because they're short, but not major and better, or minor and not better, just major and minor, long and short. And then you have 400 years of complete silence. You have the Greek conquest. This is Alexander the Great. You have the Roman conquest. And then you have Jesus comes on the scene. And you get the Gospels. And I didn't know this. A lot of people there, I've met people recently who didn't know that the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, or they're not the story of Jesus. It's one story with four different accounts of the same story. And so I was speaking to someone the other day, just didn't know that. I love telling people that. Then you get the Acts of the Apostles, the historical record of the New Testament church. And then you get this next section that if you put it in chronologically would fit all up in here. In fact, if you took the prophets and the poetry books, they would fit in the historical books. So like you could be reading through 1 Samuel. And I've actually read a chronological Bible. You can get it on the YouVersion app, the chronological Bible. And it'll put like the Psalm where it fits into 1 Samuel in that part of David's life. But that's what the epistles are. Now, the church is being planted. And while the church is being planted, letters were written. That's what epistles are. An epistle is not the wife of an apostle. Anyway, I don't know why that's funny to me. But anyway, I've tried that for a couple services now. But anyway, I think that's hilarious. But there are letters. This is where we get our doctrine, our way of living as a local church. And then, of course, the last book of the Bible, the Revelation, the last days of eternity. So Chris, okay, that helps me understand how it's put together. But what does it mean? Let me close this way. I think you'll enjoy this. So the best thing I've ever found to show you what it means. What does the Bible mean? What does God want? What does he want? What's it all about? I found years ago this and put this together. It's called the mirror image, and how the Old Testament and the New Testament actually mirror themselves. Watch this. You'll love this. If I had an hour, I would teach it to you, but I can't. This is so good. That it all began with God and righteous people in paradise. That's the Garden of Eden. Then Satan and sin entered into the world. This is Genesis chapter 3. And every time Satan enters, two things happen. Watch this, because some of you need this because you're in this right now. When Satan and sin enter, there's separation from God and chaos in your life every time. So if you're in chaos, you should be asking the question, am I separate from God? So Satan and sin enter, and when all the chaos happened, God says, I can't have this. So he sent Noah and the flood, and he destroyed the earth. And then the chaos ensued again. And so humans tried to put the chaos together. This is the Tower of Babel. We'll become a God to ourselves. And so they tried to actually reach to God so they could be God. They wanted to be in charge. And God says, no, we're not going to do it that way. We'll actually put together my system. And he put together the 12 tribes of Israel, God's holy people. The problem with this was he gave them laws that were all external. Nothing on the inside. So it didn't work. Even the Bible says it didn't work. It just didn't work. So you enter in Jesus. And I put Jesus at the top and at the center because I'll give you the clue. He's what the Bible's all about. So Jesus, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. And after Jesus came and lived his life, God established a new order called the local church through the 12 disciples, God's holy people. And what's going to happen next, this is where we are right now in history. Revelation tells us that once again, and I think we are in the beginning pain. We might not even be in the beginning. We might be in the middle of man trying to say, no, God, we can do this without you. And we'll create our own world and our own system, and we don't need you. And this is the growing thought of humanity right now, which will cause the world to be judged and destroyed again. You can read about it. And we are soon going to do a book of Revelation study together. And when God destroys the world this time, Satan and sin are going to exit. He's going to be thrown into the bottomless pit. And we're going to rule and reign with King Jesus. And not God and righteous people, but God and redeemed people will live in paradise. This is the Bible. This is what the Bible is all about. Yeah. I see some of you with your phones. Yeah, take a picture of it, all right? Or you can go back and watch the message. But I want you to notice the bottom, the two bottom, and I want you to notice the top. So God wants paradise for you. It's clear. It starts with it, ends with it. By the way, do you know what the word paradise, the closest word to paradise is, if you were literally to translate it? You're going to love this. It's resort. I love saying that because most, even Christians, have a warped view of heaven. We even call heaven the afterlife, because this is life, and now I go up there. It's afterlife. I had life, but now it's afterlife, and I guess I'll go haunt people now. No, this is the before life, and that's life. It's paradise. It's way better. It's way better. So, okay, Chris, help me understand. Let's go a little deeper. If this is what it's all about, then what's the subject of the Bible? It's got to be us then. It looks like it's us. You ready for this? Not even close. We're the object, but we are definitely not the subject. I already had the subject up here, and his name is Jesus. The subject of the Bible is Jesus. And so when you read the Bible, it's like, this is going to help you. Watch this. Find Jesus. Just find Jesus. You say, Chris, is he in the Old Testament? Watch this. You'll love this. Jesus said, you search the scriptures. Now stop. What were the scriptures at this point? It's the Old Testament. We didn't even have a New Testament yet. So the only scriptures so far are the Old Testament. Watch. So you search the Old Testament because you think by studying the law in the Old Testament, you're going to get eternal life. But the Old Testament points to me. Every book, Jesus is in it. Every book. So let's close with this. So we're the object. He's the subject. He's the subject. What's the verb? And people usually say love. And that's actually close, but not right. Because there's something better than love. You say, no, Chris, it can't be anything better than love. There is. And that is when that love is given. For God so loved that he, this is the verb. For God so loved, he didn't just have it. He gave it. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only son, that if you just believe in him, you will not perish. You will have eternal life. The verb of the Bible is give. Last slide. And that's why that's our response. So now we know what to do. So I'm reading it to find Jesus because he's the subject. But the verb is give. That's what we do now. We give our lives. We give our money. We give to dream centers. We give to church. Today, right now, I'm feeling for them because they're probably doing their altar calls right now. Two brand new ARC churches planted today. One in Syracuse, New York. It's happening right now, everybody. A brand new church. And we gave them the training. We gave them the money. We helped them out. There are people hearing the gospel of Jesus in Syracuse, New York right now. Because it's funny, John 3:16, most famous verse in the Bible. Look what 1 John 3:16 says. This is how we know what love is. Jesus gave it. He laid down his life for us. And then here's our response. And now we lay down our lives for others. And God's people said, this, my friends, is what the Bible is all about. Amen. Let's pray. Too much material and too short a time, but I loved every second of it. Yeah. Bow your heads for prayer. So if you're in chaos and you're separated, you're one heartfelt prayer away from your life being changed. And I'll lead you right now. Pray this. Say, Jesus, I'm in chaos. My life's a mess because I've been living it my way. And today I give my life to you. Forgive me. Be the Lord of my life. I believe you died and rose again. Today, I put my faith in you. Thank you for bringing the chaos into order and setting me free. In your name, I pray. Amen and amen. Give a hand for every person who just prayed that prayer. So good. The campuses have taken their services and Grants Mill, it's just us. And I do want to say, if you prayed that prayer with me, I would love to know. If you'd mark your pastoral care update card where it says, I made a decision today, I'll make sure you get your next steps in the mail just very, very soon. I would love to give me the honor of doing that. And if you prefer a digital method, just text the word commit to 74,000, and we'll get you that same material. It'll be our honor. And if you'd like to give in this service, you can do that right now. As always, we just say, if you're a guest with us, please don't feel any pressure whatsoever. This is for those who call Highlands home and really most prefer a digital method with our giving. And we'll put that on the screen just for a couple seconds. And as always, just obey God in that. And thank you. It's making a difference. You're in Syracuse today. You're in Syracuse today with your giving. You didn't go, but you went. And thank you for being so faithful. And we work very hard to make you proud of where your giving is making a difference around the world. So God bless you today. Just one reminder that Pastor Blake would have me do for you here at Grants Mill is that you can go to this class at 11:15 right now. It's just a few minutes to help you understand what it would mean to host a small group. And it would honor me if you would just consider it. I think it would help you a lot. So just consider that. We'll offer it again next week, but take up this opportunity. And then finally, if you're on the growth track, tonight is step two at 6 o'clock in the theater. Let's all stand with a benediction song in our giving, and you can put your pastoral care update cards in these containers as they come by. Father, we love you. We worship you. We say you're a great God. You're an awesome God. And God, we return our tithe and our offerings to you as an expression of our worship. And we love you with all that's in us. In Jesus' mighty name, come on, sing it. Great is our God.
wonderful service we've had with you all today. We'll see you bright and early here for 6 a.m. prayer. Have a great day.